coming to you from sunny Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Paper Stack Podcast, where we cover current topics in the note industry, give you tactics for your note business, and talk with industry leaders to make you a better note investor. And now, your hosts, Brett Berkey and Rick Allen.
All right, welcome back to the Paper Stack Podcast. My name is Rick Allen. This is my esteemed colleague, friend, co-host, Brett Berkey. And we are back for a really special day, special podcast. Why is this special, Brett?
This is number 100.
100.
100.
We've made it to the mad with triple digits. We're at 100. It's funny. I talk to people all the time. They say, yes, I follow you. I catch your podcast. And it still blows me away when I talk to people. I'm like, I can't believe you're the one. I feel like sometimes we're talking and it's just going out into the digital world and it never...
People somehow watch this.
There's people listening. Listening to the... Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we have good things to say. You know, that's... I was looking back at some of the videos and how far we've come from the first episode, which was shot on our back porches. And literally, there was...
I was at the back porches and then we did one at the pool.
We did one at the pool. We were drinking beer and our kids running around.
Yeah,
that was fun. And then there was one where we were trying to shoot the video and we couldn't leave because it was COVID and the freaking lawnmower people were like,
There's been so many of those bloopers snafus.
There's been a couple of them. One of the last ones just recently, there was a wire hanging down the front.
Oh my gosh. I saw that on TikTok the other day.
Did you?
It literally popped up on my TikTok and I was like,
it didn't look very good at the first day.
You say we've come very far, but yet we shot half a podcast with a wire.
We've come pretty far. We'll be better by 400. We'll probably figure this all out. But it's good. We're gonna go to DME next week. I'm super excited to go to Nashville.
I wish I was going with you. One, it's in Nashville, but two, DME is really a good conference. Nate has picked it up from what it was, the foundation that was laid there, and has really run with it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I haven't been to Nashville in decades, and so it should be fun. I'm looking forward to eating some barbecue.
Looking forward to the final, finally taking it out and offering it to the public.
Noteclosings.com. Yes. I'm so excited about that.
That's
been really good.
I've seen it. I've used it. It's
pretty robust.
It's
pretty
very cool. Robust. It's fantastic. Mike's done a great job on it. Mm-hmm. Our other developers have worked on it. It's great. It's gonna be awesome. So now you don't have to have your assets listed on PaperStack to still get that PaperStack experience of having the automation, of having everything handled, use of escrow.
Yeah. It's gonna be really cool. I'm excited for that product. You know, once that starts to get built out, then we can backport stuff to PaperStack, and so it's just gonna go everything better. So it's gonna be so cool. So all right, so today we're going to do something because last time me and Rick shot a podcast, we talked about foreclosure.
And what to look for.
What to look for in foreclosure. And the word that kept coming up again,
which one of the topics was bankruptcy.
Well, they kind of sound synoptic, you know, they kind of run hand in hand sometimes. So what I want to know this time around is what is the important part of bankruptcy when you're purchasing notes? What's the advantages of it? Why would I want something in bankruptcy? Mm-hmm. What am I looking out for if somebody's in bankruptcy? Are there patterns I want to watch out for? Just an all-around synopsis of, you know, a high-level look of, you know, because it is a filter on the for sale page, so you can actually filter by bankruptcy. So why? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want a bankruptcy?
It's a good, that's a great question. Some people love them. Some people hate them. I've kind of run the gamut on bankruptcies. One thing to note is there's really two major types of bankruptcies that you're going to deal with, and that's Chapter 7 and Chapter 13.
Right.
Now, there's six total types of bankruptcies. There's four other ones out there. Chapter 11, which is typically, that's only done, used by businesses. Chapter 15, which I believe is done by foreign agents who have are filing bankruptcy, so people from another country. And there's a Chapter 12, which I believe is like for farmers. So there's different kinds of bankruptcies out there. The important ones are Chapter 7, Chapter 13. So Chapter 7, pretty much the borrower doesn't want the asset.
Okay.
And Chapter 13, you're likely to be in a situation where the borrower wants to retain the asset. and payments. Now, you can be locked up in a Chapter 13 where the borrower is like, look, I don't want that asset. And so you have to get what's called relief from stay.
I remember that. You remember you talking about relief from stay. And that's just some kind of special document. You can get it online easily, or is it?
Yeah. So no, you don't. It's not a document you get online. Let's just kind of start with when you're first initially looking at a bankruptcy, you want to look for the proof of claim.
Proof of claim, what does that mean?
The proof of claim. It's a document that's filed with the courts that outlines the claim of debt owed by the bankruptcy estate.
Who files that?
The creditor does. So if I'm the mortgage holder, I don't do it. I have my attorney do it. But what will typically happen is you'll get notification that the borrower's filing bankruptcy because you have a lien against the property. You bought a note. They're filing bankruptcy. They pull title report, search public record. Why it's very important to record your assignments is so that if they do file bankruptcy, they know who to come looking to.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, that's the same thing. If like, yeah, if you go to file bankruptcy, or you go to if you don't file your proof that you've purchased the property, the assignment, and they go to sell the property, and they go to pull up the lien, it's going to be the last lien holder.
I've seen that happen before. We've had people like chase people down on the platform like, dude, you never got this recorded.
So it's important. Yeah, it's important. So whenever you are looking at a bankruptcy, look at the proof of claim.
And that's something that the creditor puts out. And that is
creditor will give it to their attorney who will file it with the bankruptcy court.
Does that get recorded?
Yes, it'll get recorded into the bankruptcy. And so what the proof of claim does is it outlines the debt that's in the bankruptcy. It'll basically say, is it secured debt or unsecured debt? Okay. You know, credit cards are
unsecured.
Mortgages?
Secured.
Secured. Car loans?
Unsecured.
No, they're secured.
Oh, they're by the car.
They're secured by the car. So it'll outline usually in the proof of claim, or not usually, always, it outlines what's secured, what's not secured.
Oh, so wait a second. But why would you know all the other stuff? The car, the credit cards, and why are you filing that if you're the mortgage?
If I'm the mortgager, or I'm the person that holds the mortgage, that I own the mortgage, I'm just filing my proof of claim for the mortgage.
Okay, so the creditors, the credit card will file proof of
claim.
Right,
and so that way you can go in there and see, like, hey, look, what's the total, like, how many people are filing claims here? Do we have five mortgages this person has? Do we have one mortgage? Do we have a bunch of credit cards, car loans? Are they getting sued by somebody? What's going on? Like, you can see all that. So whenever it's, and usually you have, a couple months to file your proof of claim.
Okay.
So it has, but if you don't file the proof of claim, then you might miss out. So when you're looking for this, when you're looking at a bankruptcy, you want to make sure you're looking at the proof of claim. And then you want to look and say, okay, well, what type of bankruptcy is it? Is it a 7 or a 13?
So proof of claim plays for both 7 and 13.
Yes, there's always proof of claim. All the creditors are filing their proof of claim. That's like adding up all the debts and everybody files it and you can see how much money is owed to whom.
And the person in the house chooses whether they want to do 7 or 13.
Yes, they'll usually file. Well, yes, they'll decide I'm going to file Chapter 7 or I'm going to file Chapter 13.
So you get notice that, hey, look,
bankruptcy's been filed.
Right. Doesn't matter, Chapter 7, 13. And then you go, hey, go to my lawyer. Hey, this is what was owed. This is the UPB that's owed?
At the time, not the UPB. The total amount owed to you at the time they filed bankruptcy.
So that might be arrears.
Arrearage. So they may be current on their mortgage and just have a bunch of credit cards or car loans or something else that they're like falling behind on, or something, some giant debt came over their head and they need to file a bankruptcy to cover it. So Chapter 7, usually that's going to be a Chapter 13, right?
Because if they're up to date on their house,
they don't want to let their house go.
Okay.
They want to keep their house.
Chapter 7 is like, it's all going.
It is. They'll sell their assets, except if it's a primary residence. They can't force you to sell your primary residence to cover debt in Chapter 7. You get to keep that. That's outside the bounds of bankruptcy.
But they still have to pay.
Right. Yes, they have to continue to pay.
So as a note investor, like, how is it different if it's Chapter 7 or 13, if they can choose if they want to pay?
They're choosing on the assets that they want to restructure and make payment plans on to keep. Chapter 7, they're taking their... The Chapter 7, they're saying, look, I want to be absolved of this debt. I don't want this debt. So they sell off the assets they have available, pay off the debt, and you're done.
Got it.
Chapter 13, you're saying, hey, I messed up. I need to catch up on these. Let's make a payment plan.
Got it.
So it's a payment plans or pre-petition or contractual payments, and then there's post-petition payment plans. So
what does that mean, post-petition?
I'm filing for it. Here's the plan I want. This is the pre-petition plan.
Yeah.
Post-petition, here's the plan that we agreed on. So you may say, here, this is how much I'm willing to pay. And usually you have to have it caught up in 3 to 5 years. So they put together everything. They put together a plan. Here are the debts that I'm going to restructure and I'm going to get caught up. Here are the debts. And then they'll say, okay, here's the proposed plan. Mm-hmm. Here's the plan that's been approved, the approved plan.
Who approves it?
It'll have to be approved by the creditors and by the courts.
Got it. Okay. So they submit a plan. This is what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. And then the post will be like, this is actually
this is what's been agreed upon. This is what's stamped in. Here it is. So for a Chapter 13, these can look really attractive if they have a 5-year plan and they're a year and a half into their plan. Right?
Right.
Because you're getting two payments. You have what's called the arrearage account. So this is all the money that's past due, but they still have to continue to make their normal mortgage payment.
Right.
So you're going to get an arrearage account and you're going to get a mortgage payment. So this can really boost your returns getting two payments.
I could see that. So now here I am going to play, why the heck would you do that? If I'm getting...
Why the heck would you what?
If I'm the guy who's getting the two payments, why am I... This is good. I like it. I'm getting two payments. I'm going to sell it. Like, why are you selling it?
Well, what if you bought it as a non-performer for 50 cents on the dollar? Okay. Right? And now you're a year and a half in. They're making their payments on a payment plan. You can sell both of those and sell them at a higher margin. Or I've seen people actually sell the mortgage and kept the arrearage account.
How does that work when you're transferring the loan?
I don't know. I haven't done it.
You haven't done it?
No.
Because I'm like, that because that would be kind of weird. Because you don't own the mortgage anymore, but they're paying you.
But there's an arrearage there, so you keep you maintain the arrearage account.
Interesting. So someone would actually want to maybe sell because they bought it as non-performing. Now it's performing because of this, and now they can sell for a lot more. They'd rather just cash out and go.
Correct.
Okay. I understand the process now.
So Chapter 7, you're really looking at probably you're going to get the house back.
Right, that's the goal. But you said
it's a non-performing loan, you're gonna likely get the house back because they're gonna use that to sell the asset. So what'll happen is whenever a bankruptcy starts, right? It's called automatic stay happens. Okay. An automatic stay means you can't continue any debt collection, whether it's a 7 or a 13. As soon as they do bankruptcy, you cannot continue to go after their debt. Because it's in bankruptcy.
Okay.
The only way you can do that is if you have your attorney file a motion for relief from stay. And what that does is you're going to the judge and you're saying, hey, this house is in foreclosure. And usually what will happen is it's not their primary residence and they don't want to keep it. Right?
Oh, okay. So
or it's their primary residence and they owe you a bunch of money outside of the foreclosure or outside of the bankruptcy that they're like, they owe more than the house is worth.
Yes. Yeah,
so if they owe more than the house is worth, then they can't very well sell that and, you know, go through the foreclosure, sell the property inside the bankruptcy and end up
making anything.
No.
Yeah.
So you file a motion for relief and you get your money out or you have them remove that asset from the bankruptcy and then you can continue your foreclosure. There's some states that allow you to pick up the foreclosure right where you left off. Other states, you have to do a restart.
Interesting. And how long does this normally take? Are the timelines way different for both?
Yeah. Bankruptcies can take forever. I mean, it can take, you're talking a couple months just for people to file the proof of claim, right? Borrower files bankruptcy. Now they have to send out notifications to everybody. So
you got to wait for everyone?
Oh, yeah. You got 3 months. It's going to take 3 months.
So you're waiting on, like, Visa and MasterCard?
You're waiting on everybody. You're waiting on those people.
So you might be first, but now you got to wait on everyone else.
You got to wait on everybody else.
Because it's just one proof of claim.
You got to wait for the proof of claims because you got to figure out what's going on. They say, okay, close the doors. Here's what we have to work with.
And you might be able to, you might get everything in, and the proof of claims in, you're like, oh, this person's,
they're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, the jinx. So, yeah, so like that you would, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I don't know if I really have any more questions. I think you knocked out everything I have for bankruptcy. I mean, I understand why someone would want it if I'm not the person who bought it and not performing, but mm-hmm. I actually am the person who's wanting to buy it and turn it around or just get the money now.
Mm-hmm.
I could see why someone would want to sell it. I can understand the differences.
So some interesting things on relief of stay.
Okay.
So if you file, say they're in a Chapter 7, they haven't been making payments, or maybe they're in a Chapter 13 and they haven't been making payments, right?
Okay.
And they've agreed to, they don't, you know, they're like, listen, I'm going to let this house go. Maybe it was an investment property. I'm going to let you file it. Once they do the bankruptcy and you get motion for relief of stay, and it's they've agreed to release it, they typically can't fight you on the foreclosure. They're not supposed to be able to hire an attorney to fight the foreclosure.
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, where are they getting the money? They're fighting a foreclosure with an attorney. I mean, if they're going bankruptcy, if they have money to fight a foreclosure, wouldn't they have money to pay off the debts?
Hey, man, you should see the amount of times that I had I had somebody with a tenant in the house. And they were taking the rents from the tenant to pay the attorney to fight the foreclosure.
Oh.
Huh. You want to talk about, you know, basically giving them, like, unlimited ammo in a gunfight. Just say, you know, every now and then they send their attorney $2,000. They lose a couple months of rent or a month and a half of rent. And then they just keep on collecting rent. And then, you know, the way the courts work, they give the money, you know, say an attorney is... You know, like the flat fee attorneys are like, hey, $2,500, that's, you know, $200 an hour. You're getting a good amount of time, right? 12 hours.
Just to kick the can.
And all the attorneys do is they would, to fight it, it's like just they're filing documents. They're like, well, I need you to send me the payment history starting at the date of the loan. Or something like that. They just start digging. I need to send me the servicing comments from all the past servicers. So what do you have to do?
You're going to find that.
Now you have to go back and you have to start searching and finding it. And so they just do those little things. So how long does it take the attorney to do that? An hour and a half to file that? Well, they've still got then 11 hours of work.
Oof.
And so you can, you know.
Oh, man, that's a...
It's tough. And so if you, like, you have to have your attorney on it. But, and that's why if I usually get that situation, I'd always just pay him. I'm like, here, how much do you want to go away?
Don't you actually have something that you put, like, I can't remember if it was in the note or the mortgage that you have. If you're caught renting the house out, it's like immediate foreclosure.
Something. It's not an immediate foreclosure. It's called an assignment of rents. You can have something in the mortgage that if you stop paying rents, or like it's an assignment of rents, or you can petition for the court to do that.
Right. I remember that was something it was years ago, but you were looking at it, and I was like, that's pretty slick, where you put it in so that they couldn't just foreclose
on
you.
They can't do that. So if, for instance, it goes into foreclosure or there's a bankruptcy situation, you can apply for assignment of rents.
Interesting. So they can't collect that money to kick
the can. So they can't collect the money and keep fighting you with it.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, they know. Do they always know that there is an end to this? They can't win.
No, but it's just, you know, if you get frequent filers, they just know how to drag it out and. Frequent filers, people who have
different
filed.
Frequent flyers.
Yes, frequent filers.
That's hard to say. Frequent flyers.
You've butchered it. There you go, folks. That'll be on the episode 200 blooper reels. You get people who will just continuously file. So that's something. Patterns, right? You look for patterns.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad pattern.
That's a bad pattern to be in.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. So episode 100, we should probably give something away. So
we're giving something away?
Well, I mean.
To who?
I don't know. Somebody leaves a comment. Let's see here. We'll hide an Easter egg in here in the post-production. There'll be some kind of sneaky thing that was done.
a sneaky thing that was done.
Maybe like a leprechaun running across a desk or something like that. Something fun. We'll just pop up in the corner. You gotta give us a timestamp. When they saw it, the first person to do it, we're sending you a t-shirt.
Okay.
That was fun, right?
Yeah, that was good.
I saw Mr. Ballin do it. Mr. Ballin did it, so must work.
All right. Well, we'll continue to do it. Brett is going to, he's going to have a bunch of cameras and recording stuff, and he'll be at DMB. If you're going to DMB, stop and say hello to Brett. And, you know.
Well, I'll have all these cameras. Thank God Mike's going with us, because me alone with just the cameras be bad news.
Yes, so I will be there. I won't be able to attend this one. I have a family engagement, but looking forward to hearing all the great things that happen there.
Yeah, me too. Should be fun. I like Nashville. I like food. So let's do it.
So, all right, we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks.
See ya.
Are you new to the mortgage note industry? Have you been wanting to learn the step-by-step process to purchase your first mortgage note? Well, you're in luck. We've convinced our CEO, Rick Allen, to break down everything he knows about mortgage note investing. Through a series of 50 videos, you'll get everything from start to finish of where to purchase notes, how to purchase notes, and all of Rick's investing techniques he has developed over the many years. From performing note tactics to non-performing notes, Rick gives you everything he knows about investing. Bonuses include our glossary of industry terms, Rick's own proprietary calculators he created to evaluate notes, discounts from our partners, our Rolodex of vendors, a private Facebook group, along with a lot more. We've packed so much content into the Academy to take you from beginner to expert in no time. To learn more about the Academy, go to academy.paperstack.com/welcome. Again, that is academy.paperstack.com/welcome.